AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my
new series, Parrish.
My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life. You know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, the high cost of gas, the high cost of weddings, and Angela Garbus. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Tuning in. Thank you for coming out in Brooklyn. Thank you so much for coming and joining. Take a seat. Let's do it, y'all. We've got a really fun show for you tonight. President Biden is stepping on the gas. Louis Black is getting ready for wedding season, and Congress has agreed on gun reforms that are somehow a huge deal and a huge disappointment at the same time. So, let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. Let's kick things off with gasoline, or as scientists call it, dinosaur pee-pee. Over the past few months, global demand for oil has kept rising faster than the supply, to the point where the price of gas in the United States is now $6 billion a gallon. So drivers are hurting. The good news is that, as always, President Biden wants to help. The bad news is that, as always, it doesn't look like he can.
The president this afternoon called on Congress to temporarily suspend the federal gas tax, which is right now about 18 cents a gallon. It's a move President Biden has resisted until today, given that it is unlikely to pass Congress.
While officials say a gas tax holiday is worth considering, there is a cost. Those funds are used for repairing roads and infrastructure, important priorities across the country.
What the president wants is a 3-month gas tax holiday on both regular gas and diesel going into September. He also wants states to pass their similar versions of that gas tax holiday. The president also had a word specifically here for the oil companies. Here's what he said.
Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you are paying for the product. Do it now. Do it today.
Why are you talking like that? Is this a secret? Should the rest of us be listening? Why does he do that thing? It's so strange. Like, Joe Biden's the only president whose vibe shifts in the middle of a sentence. Oil companies, you better lower the prices. Please. Please, I'm begging you. If you're president, you just gotta say things. Otherwise, it makes you look weak, you know? You can't be like, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall if you get around to it. It's such an ugly wall, or at least paint it. Come on. And you know, I feel like this is the big difference between Trump and Biden, you know, is how they use their power. Because with Trump, it was always like, ah, shit, is he gonna use his power? And with Biden, it's like, ah, shit, is he gonna use his power? Also, whoever decided to call it a gas tax holiday, that person should be fired. It's not a holiday. What does that mean? It's a gas tax holiday. No, just be like, we're not charging gas. It's a gas tax holiday. That's the worst holiday of all time. What, you save 18 cents off of gas and I still have to go to work? Are you shitting me? Even Arbor Day is better than that shit.
And this is what always confuses me about this country, right? Everywhere in the world, governments manage to protect their populations from corporate greed, right? Like South Africa will limit how high bread prices can go. The EU will be like, you cannot pump chickens with the same hormones they use in the Hulk. In China, they're like, crypto's done, and no more dancing on TikTok, only homework. But whenever the American government has to deal with corporations, they've got about as much power as a tortoise that's stuck on its back, you know? It's just like, come on, oil companies. Come on, pass on your savings. Drug companies, don't overcharge for life-saving drugs, please. Please. But still, this is good news for Americans. Instead of the gas tax going to maintaining roads and infrastructure, drivers will now save 18 cents per gallon. And then you can use those savings to buy a new car after yours gets swallowed up by a pothole. But let's move on to a different problem facing practically everyone in America: gun violence. There have been many mass shootings in America over the past couple of decades. And after each one, people have always said, maybe this time will be different. Maybe Congress will do something about this. And every time, Congress was like, no. But ever since the mass shooting in Buffalo and Uvalde last month, a group of senators from both parties have been working together to see if they can find any common ground on gun reform. And it turns out this time is different, ever so slightly.
This morning, after decades of partisan gridlock, a major breakthrough in Congress, 14 Republicans joining all 50 Democrats to advance a new compromise on gun restrictions.
This is a breakthrough. And more importantly, it's a bipartisan breakthrough.
The deal includes enhanced background checks for people between 18 and 21, closing the so-called boyfriend loophole, preventing romantic partners convicted of domestic violence from buying guns, directing more money for states to implement their own plans to address gun violence, and billions for school security upgrades and mental health services. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calls the deal a common-sense package of popular steps that will help make these horrifying incidents less likely while fully upholding the Second Amendment.
Oh, I agree with Senator Mitch McConnell. Thank God the precious Second Amendment has been preserved. Oh, yes. I mean, I'm all for protecting kids, but the Second Amendment, oh. Have you seen that little face? Have you seen it? Whose Second Amendment are you? Whose Second Amendment are you? You're adorable. Sometimes I feel like Americans want to protect the Constitution more than they want to protect the Americans the Constitution is supposed to protect. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, I'm glad we could protect the Second Amendment. I'll tell you now, if the Second Amendment was in that classroom in Uvalde, the cops would have bust the door down with Mitch McConnell right behind them. You yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. And I will say, look, I know for a lot of people, it can be hard to know how to feel about this deal because it doesn't include a lot of things that people want. You know, it doesn't ban assault rifles. It doesn't raise age limits. It doesn't even do universal background checks, which is the most basic thing imaginable. So for some, this kind of thing, you know, feels like trying to stop Godzilla by dropping a few mouse traps around the city. But on the other hand, after three decades of nothing happening, this deal is something. Please remember that. It is something. It's not going to solve everything, but it's something. And something is always better than nothing. That's the entire philosophy behind the hand job. All right, let's move on. If you've been out in New York City over the past few years, especially pandemic and through it, you've probably noticed a wild new phenomenon. And no, I'm not talking about how the stuff dripping from air conditioners doesn't taste as good as it used to. Which, no, it really bothers me. It used to have like a flavor. It had a tang when it would like fall in your mouth. You'd be like, No, the problem I'm talking about is the squads of dirt bikes and ATVs flooding the streets and sidewalks like Trump supporters trying to find Mike Pence. Well, now, the mayor of New York City has decided to crush this problem literally.
Today, heavy machinery crushed illegal ATVs, dirt bikes, and motorcycles confiscated by the NYPD. Mayor Eric Adams waved a checkered flag and work began. He said this effort was to ensure these vehicles cannot ever terrorize the city again. The NYPD says that it has seized more than 2,000 of these vehicles citywide, an increase of more than 80% from this time last year.
Hell
Hell yeah, baby! Crush those bikes! That's what I want from my city government! Yeah! I don't even care about the underfunded schools anymore, because this shit rocks!
By the way, why is he waving a checkered flag at the beginning of a race? Does he not understand how a race works? Guy in the truck is like, I've finished already? Now look, I will admit, as a New Yorker, humble brag, maybe this isn't the biggest problem the city is facing right now. You know, rents are driving people out of their homes, traffic is always bad, and the subways are always shutting down. Because I think we have trains that are scared of the dark or something. Yeah, no, I think that's what it is in New York, you see, because they find, and then they go into a tunnel, and then they're just like, you guys should walk, I don't know what to do, this is scary. In fact, instead of crushing these bikes, maybe the city could have used them to solve some of the city's problems. You know, I mean, this could have been the solution to the subway problem. Instead of those trains that are always breaking down, just drop a bunch of dirt bikes into the tunnel, you know? Yeah, let people wheelie to work. Or give them to the police so that they don't have to ride horses anymore. What are you doing, stopping crime in the 1850s? Huh? There are cattle rustlers on Broadway. Or just hire the dirt bike kids to ride around neighborhoods where the rents have gotten unaffordable. Help keep the prices down. The studio apartment with no bathroom. You want it? You want it? It costs $6,000 a month. What? All right, give me $50. You can have it. All right, and finally, if you're one of those people who really likes to vape, well, first of all, congratulations on being basic. And second of all, you might want to stock up because your supply is about to run out.
One of the largest makers of e-cigarettes may soon be forced to stop selling its products in this country. The Wall Street Journal says the FDA could order Juul e-cigarettes off the market as soon as today. The FDA has criticized Juul for gearing its products toward young people. It already barred the sale of fruity and sweet e-cigarette cartridges. Juul had hoped to continue selling tobacco flavors. It can appeal if the FDA does hand down that ban as expected.
That's right, people. Juul e-cigarettes are about to be banned, so your days of going around looking like you're blowing R2-D2 are over. But this is a big move by the FDA, because you realize Juul is the iconic vaping brand. So by them doing this, it's like going after soda by banning Coke, or going after Coke by banning Don Jr. All right, that's it for the headlines. But before we go, let's check in on the traffic with our very own Roy Wood Jr., everybody! Good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm good. Now, I know we want to get to the traffic, man, but that brings up a good point. Am I supposed to be excited about 18 cent off of gas?
I guess they want you to be excited.
I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like that's a lot. I'm sure 18 cent off, I'm sure that's a lot of gas. Where you from? I'm sure that's like a lot of gas.
What, because I'm from Africa?
You said it, not me. This is the thing. Like, I feel like 18 something, it's like, it's a nice gesture, but it ain't really doing nothing. It's like when your grandma still give you $10 for your birthday, and I'm like, I'm 43, what am I gonna do with these $10? This ain't even a sandwich. This ain't even a deal. Oh, you looking at me, you want me to do the traffic. You know what fixes traffic?
Yeah.
Because, like, perfect thing about the gas, right?
Yeah.
All right. So gas is up because everybody consuming gas, right?
Okay, yeah.
People consume gas because they stuck in traffic, they ain't really moving. What gives you good gas mileage? Motion, the car moving. So the way you get to fix the traffic, all green lights. Every light, every intersection in America, green light, same time, traffic move.
I think that would create another problem, though.
What's the problem? What?
Because if it's all the green lights, then, like, the cars are probably gonna smash into each other.
Even better. Even better. Car smash, your car don't run, now you walking, saving gas. You understand? That's how it works. I mean, all green lights.
All right.
Look, look at all these motorcycles. Why we didn't just sell motorcycles to these people?
What country is that even?
I don't know a country with traffic. I don't understand why would the city of New York not just sell the bikes? The police love to put stuff out and then just tear it up. Man, you could have sold them bikes for parts. You could have took them to another country or some shit. Man, why would you get rid of the bike? I bet you they ain't even siphoning the gas out them bikes before they crush them. That's messed up, man.
That's a lot of money.
I'm from Alabama, man. I'm from Alabama. The police down there, they do something called a police auction. The police take your shit, and then once every 2-3 times a year, they just have a yard sale, and they just sell everybody's stuff. And that's how you make a little bit of bread. You don't burn the stuff up, man. Like when they be burning the drugs, they be burning up the drugs. Why would you burn that cocaine? That good cocaine, man, you could bag that up. You could take that down to Knoxville, holler at Big Mix. He got 2 plugs from the Salvadorians. We could get that. That shit, if you cut it the right way, you could get a couple extra dollars and stretch that.
Roy, you're going to incriminate yourself. Let's jump to the traffic.
That's my bad.
Let's just jump to the traffic.
You know where the Juul people messed up? The Juul cigarette people?
Yeah, see, where did they mess
up? They tried too hard to sell to children. You can't just go right at the children. That's what happened to Joe Camel. That's why they got Joe Camel out of here. You remember Joe Camel? You remember the Camel cigarettes they had the dude? I remember in the 6th grade, everybody either wanted to be Michael Jordan or Joe Camel. That's who you wanted to be. It was a Camel. He had shades, he had a leather jacket on, he had a white woman on his arm. I was like, that's the man. Also the thing with Juul, man, it's the people who smoke e-cigs. This their fault. Y'all had all this time to normalize e-cigs, but every time they, you ever seen somebody pull an e-cig out? They look weird. They reaching all in the coat. Then they put it back down. Then they look at the floor when they hitting it. Why are you looking at the floor? Look up at me. That's addiction behavior. You don't look down at the smokers look you in the eyes. Smoking. Also, when people smoke a cigarette, they don't smoke in the center of their mouth. This is cool. You gotta smoke in the corner of your mouth. You don't smoke nothing in the, this is crack pipe. This is cool. This is meth. And that's why people be tripping on them Juul cigarettes, man. You can't be, you won't look cool, you gotta smoke around the corner.
I hear you there, man. I hear you there.
I'm just. Man, there's some nice traffic, man. What do you want me to say about the traffic?
People like
every
watching
week,
the news.
Every week.
Yeah, because people
what
like
do you
watching,
want me to say?
The people like want to know what roads to drive on.
Not this one. Don't drive on this one.
You know what? All right.
Because
thank you so
cars.
Much, Roy. Thank you
and
so much.
Wasting gas.
All right, when we come back, Lewis Black will be talking about weddings, so don't go away.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Daily Show. When a news story falls through the cracks, Lewis Black catches it for a segment we call Back in Black.
Wedding season is here, everyone. My favorite time of year. The brides are radiant and grooms are terrified. And I'm in the photo booth letting my artistic side out. My nipple rings really pop in a wedding album. And it's a great time for someone who loves love as much as I do, because this year, there are more weddings than ever.
2022 is going to be a record year. They're talking about 2.5 million weddings set to take place. The biggest number since 1984. That number is up by 600,000 since 2021.
One out of every five weddings last year was rescheduled for this year, which means everything from dresses to venues to hotel rooms are in high demand.
Planning to marry? Then get ready to rumble. You can kiss the romantic venues goodbye, because the only one left is the Octagon, and you're gonna have to choke someone out for it. And I guess that's America for you. It's easier to get a shotgun than it is to get a shotgun wedding. But at least post-pandemic marriages are gonna be strong. After all, most of these couples have been through lockdown together. They already know they can spend hours in the same room watching TV without speaking to each other until one of them falls asleep and the other one can finally masturbate in peace. You know, marriage! Of course, even if you manage to find an aisle to walk down this year, guess what? It's gonna cost you.
And the cost to tie the knot? Astronomical.
All of the vendors really didn't have any sort of income for almost 2 years. So they are really trying to make up for that lost revenue.
That, coupled with supply chain issues and inflation, have sent prices soaring.
Couples will spend an average of more than $24,000 on their wedding this year, up nearly $2,000 from last year. But it's not just the bride and groom. Guests should expect to spend more too, as a record travel season boosts demand for flights, hotel rooms, and rental cars.
That's Matt Tressler from Louisville, Kentucky, and this is his 10th wedding so far this summer. Weekend after weekend, he's shelling out for gifts, gas, hotels, and more.
I don't want to say an exact number, but let's just say it was like four digits. I've had to buy a lot of suits for weddings. I hate to brag, I'm a professional wedding guest. I'm the wedding king.
Wedding king is Yiddish for schmuck. 24,000 dollars for a wedding? F*** me hard. At that price, you won't have anything left for the divorce lawyer. And thanks to the price of gas, even getting to a wedding costs an arm and a leg. Gas is so expensive, you can bring it as a wedding gift. And make sure you hold on to it, though. Your grandkids can sell it to a warlord for water. So with all the logistical and financial challenges, it's no wonder that some couples are finding creative ways to save money.
Weddings can cost a fortune. The national average, close to 30 grand. And in Kiara and Joel's home state of California, the average is even higher.
Dress is check.
So how did Kiara pull it off? She started with the dress, which cost just $47.
I didn't want to spend a lot of money on a dress because I had the mindset, I'm going to wear this one time for a few hours.
Then she found the perfect location, right off the freeway. Keyword being free.
A wedding by the freeway? Genius. I've found love on the side of the road loads of times. And never once did I think to invite a photographer. And I definitely wouldn't have invited my grandmother. But even if you beat the costs and the crowds, there's one more thing you need to worry about, the COVID.
One newlywed couple didn't want to reschedule their already postponed wedding. Understandable. The reception the groom tested positive for COVID, it happened just 3 days before. So the bride still attended the wedding, but took this cardboard cutout of her groom instead. The couple says it was their way of making the best of a very disappointing situation after their nuptials had already been rescheduled several times throughout the course of the pandemic. Don't worry, though. The groom didn't completely miss out on all the fun and festivities. He did show up on screen in the ballroom as a surprise to his bride.
Look, if you find yourself dancing with a cutout, you're certifiably insane. And what does it say about the groom that he can be replaced by a cardboard cutout and nobody seems to care? And the bride is in for a rude awakening because there's no way the husband is ever going to live up to that cutout. It's well-dressed, it listens, and it has a flat stomach. It's the total package. Now, if you'll excuse me, Trevor, I've got a wedding to get to. Some asshole is getting married to a woman he doesn't even like, and those idiots have decided to make it a destination wedding.
Oh, wow, Lewis. Who's getting married?
I am. And I gotta pick up my bride at Kinko's.
Lewis Black, everyone! We'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Show. My guest tonight is best-selling author Angela Garbus. She's here to talk about her new book, Essential Labor, which reflects on the state of caregiving in America and explores mothering as a means of social change. So please welcome Angela Garbus. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Trevor, for having me.
Are you kidding me? Thank you for writing one of the most fascinating books on a topic that I love delving into because I feel like it is the root of everything.
Yes.
And that is mothering.
Yes. You know? I'm glad that you see that. We share a vibe.
Right. but let's start with the, you know, the title of the book, Essential Labor. You wrote this book, you know, based on an article that got acclaim from everyone. I mean, mothers all over the country read it. Some people around the world read it. Even people like Melinda Gates and Elizabeth Warren chimed in and said, yeah, this is spot on. What do you think people have been missing about mothering for so long?
Sure. I mean, I wrote this book, you know, part of it came out of the grief and loss that I felt at the start of the pandemic. As a writer, I had sort of nebulous deadlines and I didn't get a regular paycheck or health insurance, but my husband's job gave us that. So I basically stopped writing. And because childcare centers closed, I was taking care of my kids. And I knew that that was the most important work I could be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also, I felt like I wasn't getting any recognition for it.
Right.
We were hearing about essential workers, healthcare workers, sanitation workers who are, yes, essential. But we were never hearing about parents who were working 24/7, trying to take care of their families, trying to keep communities safe. And that's really where, like, this is what I'm, like, what I know you understand is that domestic work, mothering, we do it to ourselves every day, feeding ourselves, taking a shower.
Right.
Without care work and domestic labor, you know, this is the work that makes all other work possible. The idea that domestic labor is somehow less valuable than quote unquote professional work I just think it's a myth.
What you tap into in this book is so powerful because it even goes to, let's say somebody's like a rampant capitalist. Even.
Sure.
You know, they go like, oh, the country needs to make money. We got to get people out there. And yet they don't want the policies that support mothers in doing that. So you see mothers, you know, you talk about in the book where they have to choose. Am I going to be a mom or am I going to find somebody to be a mom to my child
yes.
or I can't afford them?
This is so many, you know, we talk about this care crisis that was exposed in the pandemic,
yes.
right? When child care centers and schools closed down, we were lost. People didn't know what to do. But many of us have always known that, you know, until your child is age 6, in America, you're really on your own. And there are many people who are choosing between, should I put my child in daycare or should I work? Because it's really about the same amount of money.
Right.
Right? But so studies have been done. So Oxfam has a study that if women in America were paid minimum wage for the amount of domestic labor that they do unpaid right now, it would be worth $1.9 trillion per year.
Wow.
So that's, talk about putting, you know, a value on that. Like, that is part of our economy. And that's a thing that we just have not reckoned with in this country. Our country, American capitalism, relies just as much on the labor that happens in the home as any other labor that happens in the office or on a job site.
And other countries have done that in many ways. You know, you see countries like Sweden, countries like Switzerland, et cetera, they've got different methods of doing it, but they'll
yeah.
say, this is so valuable to the country
yes.
that we will pay a mother, we'll make sure that the government is supporting a mother, because, you know, you talk about this in the book, and it's really fascinating to get into, is like everything that we struggle with in society, whether it's crime, you know, whether it's poverty, whether it's mental issues, et cetera,
yeah.
you can link so many of those things
absolutely
to mothering.
Yes, when you invest, so I believe that raising children, you know, it's a choice that people make to have kids or to not have kids. And I think we should all, unfortunately, this is not guaranteed in our country.
Right.
We should all be allowed to make that choice for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? But whether or not you have children, you know, raising kids is a social responsibility. And when we invest, like, no one gets to adulthood without someone taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their parents. It's also beloved aunties. It's a preschool teacher. It's a teacher, right? There's so many people who are part of that. And when we invest in children and families and mothers, it's investing in public health. It's investing in the very future and health of our society.
It's interesting that you also wrote this not just as a mom, but I enjoyed how many prisms you look through, you know, at the issue through. You know, you wrote about it as a mom. You wrote about it as a worker and as a writer.
Yes.
And you also wrote about it through the lens of being an immigrant or family of immigrants.
Yes.
But specifically Filipino, which I really enjoyed, because you talked about how caregiving and mothering seems almost like it's part of the fabric of being Filipino. I'd love to know where you think that came from or why that's so important to Filipino
sure.
culture.
I'm so glad you asked. Thank you. So I didn't set out to write about my Filipino-American family. I do think that Filipinx-American history is something that is underrepresented, you know, within the Asian-American community. Sometimes I'm like, what about us? What about my family, right? But so there, my mom is a nurse, and I won't go into the whole long history of American imperialism in the United States, but the reason why my parents emigrated here is because my parents spoke English because of an American education system that was created by American colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was a health worker shortage, the United States allowed highly skilled immigrants,
mm-hmm.
like my mother and father, to come. And when I was thinking about the history of caregiving in this country, you know, you have to really reckon with the reason why we devalue care work, which is performed mostly by women of color. It's because of slavery, right? This is why we accept women of color working in the home for free or for low wages. So I was trying to wrestle with, like, how do I take this on? But there was a statistic that came out during COVID that will never leave my body, and it is that Filipinx nurses are 4% of the nursing workforce in the United States.
Okay.
They are 34% of COVID-related nursing deaths.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. And that, to me, I was like, this could be my mother. This could be my children's grandmother. And it's because when Filipinx nurses came over, they didn't tell me, this is a familiar trope with immigrants here in the United States, they took jobs that white workers didn't want.
Right.
They took ICU and critical care jobs that were more intimate
mm-hmm.
with patients' bodies. And since 2020, that means they've been caring for COVID patients.
Right.
And so they're dying in disproportionate numbers.
Wow.
And that's really where I was like, wait a second. Like, I don't, there are so many ways into this story of caregiving in America, right? But this, I realized I could tell my family story, and it's all of the same forces that are happening. It's capitalism, it's colonialism, it's exploitation, right? It's white supremacy. These are the things that we are living with now, and I see it in my family, and I see it reflected in this crisis that we're dealing with, which is going to outlast the pandemic if we don't figure out how to care for each other.
How do we move towards a situation where women are not in a position where, as mothers, or, and you know, you talk about in the book how mothering extends beyond just the cliched idea of what a mother is. You know, we talk about communities, we talk about, as you say, the aunts, the grandmothers, they're all mothering in some way. Do you see any viable solution? Do you see a world that we can get to where we say, oh, this is where the government could help, this is what we could do, this is where companies could help, et cetera?
Yes, yes. Well, so, I mean, companies, at this point, I want the government to be part of this because we've privatized everything, right? Like, I don't think that employees and employers and corporations are going to save us at this point. We've privatized all human rights in America, right? Like, universal health care, right? Like, education, we've made all of those things. Like, it's time for government support. And I've gone through phases of being really angry and really disillusioned. But right now, my friend Ai-Jen Poo, who's the director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance, who's part of a coalition called Care Can't Wait, and they formed during COVID to deal with this care crisis. There is actually, right now, senators are doing budget reconciliation on a bill that would put money into childcare, home care, and elder care. And so in this moment, if you're looking for something to do, if you've been affected by care, and I know all of us have been, you can call your senators right now and tell them to fund care. And this is not an opportunity that comes up all the time. So I feel hopeful, you know, because there's an actionable item that we can do. I also feel hopeful because in the pandemic, what I saw when people formed pods, right, when people started having these play dates, that was people saying, I can't do this alone, right? We are not meant to take care of children, to take care of our elders, to take care of the disabled, to take care of the sick. We're not meant to do that in isolation. We can't. And I saw so many examples in the pandemic, like, we are surviving this not because the government sent us 8 tests. We're surviving this because we took care of each other.
Right.
And I see that all around me. And I think if we lean into that and continue, I don't want that to go away as we, like, as the pandemic moves more into the rearview mirror.
Right.
I want
that
more
one
of
part
it.
Of it. More community, more looking after each other, and more honoring mothering. Thank you so much for joining me
on the
show.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. Essential Labor, a fascinating book, is available now. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you again.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Well, that's our show for tonight, but before we go, please consider donating to the National Black Justice Coalition. Since 2003, they have been America's leading national civil rights organization advocating for federal policies that fight against racism and homophobia. So, if you can, please donate at the link below to help them reach their vision of a world where all people are fully empowered to participate safely, openly, and honestly in family, faith, community, regardless of their race, their class, their gender, identity, or their sexual orientation. It's a really great organization. Until tomorrow, stay safe out there, and remember, if you can't solve the real problems in your life, just get a bulldozer and crush somebody's bike.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.